Jeff Jowett with us, his book, Lasting Impressions. We're going to talk with him a little bit about that. We're going to take your calls as well as we talk about karma. Share your karma story with us when we come back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Jeff Jowett with us, of course. Lasting Impressions is his book. We'll get to your calls in a second. Jeff, Lasting Impressions. Tell us about the medium's cherished messages from Spirit. What were those messages?
So that the book was based on my 25 years as a medium and the message and information that comes through Spirit. And I was told by my guides to write a book based on stories because people love stories. And so I divide the book up into four different sections. The first part is readings, stories from readings based on the perspective from the medium. The second are from the sitter, the person receiving the reading. The next set are based on spirits. Perspective, and the last set is all on symbolisms and signs that spirits use to communicate. So it gives you an understanding of the principles of mediumship and helps you understand how spirit communicates through a medium.
Now, with these works as a medium, do you still do a lot of that?
Yeah, that's probably about 80% of my work. The 20% is the past life stuff now, and that's getting more and more people are getting interested in that aspect. And I also think that the service I provided is not as there's not as many people that do that type of work as mediumship. So
interesting. Now, how did you get started in that? How did that first happen for you?
Well, ever since I was a little boy, I saw spirit. I heard spirit.
Were you gifted or were you picked?
No, I feel it was something I was gifted. I had four spirits show up to me as a little boy, and I can remember being in my crib, and they would tell me that I was going to help people to heal like a doctor does, but in a different way. But I was going to help them understand why they're here, and I would be able to connect with people that they knew. And so at a young age, I had these ideas, and I was fortunate to grow up near Lilydale, which is the International Center for Modern Spiritualism, and I got in touch with mediums there when I was in junior high, I think was the first time I got in touch with them to talk to them about it, and they understood, you know, they could help me explain what I was seeing and why I was seeing it and so forth, but it's always felt natural to me.
But in this feeling of natural, I mean, have you ever come across any demons?
No, there's never been. Now, there's been spirits that felt they carried a lot of guilt and shame with them, a lot of accidental overdoses and suicides and so forth. But they're not evil. They just have a sadness about them. And being an empath, I would feel that, and I wouldn't understand why they were so sad. You know, I was fortunate. I had a good childhood and a good upbringing. So the sadness that I experienced from their personalities as they showed me when they were here. Now, once they leave their body, some of that dissipates. But yeah, that part always surprised me.
But when you're with spirit, what do they tell you? What are they trying to convey to you?
So the most important thing is to just let you know that, you know, they're still here, that their consciousness survived the death of that physical body. And mainly when they come to me, they want me to give a message to someone about to help them actually heal through the process of their transition. That's the main purpose. And it's things they maybe didn't get to say or things to understand it, especially someone who's in extreme grief, a spirit will come through. Often when I do a reading and I'm reading a client, a spirit will come through and the person won't know who they are right away, but then they'll bring up and oh, this is my best friend. Oh, she lost her son. They know who's in grief and they know windows or doorways of opportunity to get a message through to someone. So a lot of times when I do a reading, the first part I say, hey, this is going to be like an open house. Spirits, some are going to show up, and you might not know who they are right away. Just make note of them, but you'll figure it out, like as time goes on. And that's usually what happens. Is clients will email me days later and figure out why these individuals came through, unknown to them that who that spirit might belong to.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Bart's in Long Island, New York. Welcome to the program. Hi, Bart.
Hi, good morning. I'm very interested in what you fellows are talking about. I just want to say that I've been suffering 60 years, anxiety, overwhelming, bipolar, depression, and psychiatry. I've been seeing psychiatrists, therapists, and whatever. Now, I never really looked into karma that much. I mean, basically, the first time I really heard something about it in the movie The Godfather, when he mentioned karma with Sonny and his girlfriend. I don't know if that makes sense. But anyway, I would like to know what the relationship of karma has to do with psychiatry and how possibly I could use karma to maybe heal myself. Because over the years, I've taken medication, counseling, or whatever, and these people have never helped me. And I'm 73 years old.
All right, Jeffrey, take it away.
Okay, Bart. Well, you ask a really interesting question, especially in the field of psychology right now, because there's a whole area of psychology that's questioning whether or not we even have free will. And, George, this might be an interesting topic for you to get on your show, but there's this idea that we're just pre-programmed and our ego mind convinces us that we actually have free will. See, I don't buy it because what would be the purpose of coming here? So the idea that you have choices and so forth. So the association with psychology, it depends on what group you buy into. But if you go to Rudolf Steiner's work or Carl Jung's, who are very much connected to the truth of human existence and the fundamentals of the soul, what's fascinating to me is the idea that any dysfunction or disease you have comes more from inherited karma than it actually does from heredity. I was a molecular biologist. I studied DNA. I mean, I probably was taken on that path to come to this realization. But a lot of scientists, too, have realized that it's not so much about genes. It's about these inherited energetic patterns that we carry with us. And so it might be helpful for you, Bart, to see someone who could do some past life regression work to investigate maybe this anxiety or this disruptions coming from you. So I when I hear your voice, I see the color blue, dark blue, like indigo. And to me, that shows me you're doing a lot of third eye work.
Is that a good thing?
Archetypes have a lot to do with the intellectual, overthinking, over-rationalizing, the monkey mind versus the intuitive, which is the inner knowing. And so you might want to explore that area a little bit to see if it could be helpful for you to understand where these thoughts are coming from.
Jeff, what's the difference between an aura and karma?
An aura is basically an energetic fingerprint around an individual that helps you understand what their thoughts, their beliefs, their emotions are. But see, based on their karma, the colors are going to coordinate with that because, again, karma is the action. It's the intention. It's the desire of the individual. So they're illuminated. It illuminates in their auric field. And the aura, anatomically, if you look at the aura, the outer layer is called the causal body or the soul body, and that carries the karma of the individual. And that's the part that I like to hone in on when I'm looking at someone because it has such an incredible impact on the circumstances of someone's life.
Let's go to Shadow, truck driving in Missouri, east of the Rockies. Hello, Shadow.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Okay, hope you are too.
I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm a big fan, George, man, you know.
Thank you.
I listen to you guys as much as I can. Now, I have a question for Jeff. So I've always been interested as to whether or not, because, you know, karma and reincarnation, I've always been interested as to whether or not the reincarnation process is linear or if it jumps throughout the time line, you know.
Explain a little bit about that, Chad.
Well, okay, if you... say, you know, I die now, could I be reincarnated in the past?
In the past? What do you think of that, Jeffrey?
Well, again, another great question. So when you go beyond the physical realm is the realm where time and space exists, and it doesn't exist outside of there. So actually, when we use the term past lives, we use that in terms of being in the physical realm, but your soul can have many spirits, have the experience of many lifetimes simultaneously. And so it as far as your question goes, you know, can you go back? I'm not so sure you can go back, but you can be simultaneous. Like you can have simultaneous, and that's pretty much probably what more happens. It's hard for our rational mind to think that way relative to it. But when I look at an individual, and I've had several clients I've done several of these soul progressions with, it isn't linear. In fact, when I look at the chakras, if you look at the lessons of the chakras, many times people start with a root chakra and they work their way all out to the top of the head, the crown. And it's like cherry picking, like one lifetime they'll go to the heart and then they'll go to the crown and then they'll go down to the root, because wisdom is, they get pieces of wisdom through all these consciousness centers. And essentially in time, it'll all blend together. But the karma that you choose isn't, again, just specific to you. It's the soul group you're working with. And you might play a more participatory role with them and helping them understand some aspect through their soul progression. So there's lots of different paths we can take, but it doesn't seem to be linear. That, again, I think it's a concept that's more associated with the physical world.
I agree with you, Jeff. I'm not sure you can go back into time to change things like that. Let's go to Joe in Monterey, California. Joseph, go ahead.
Well, Happy New Year.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Okay. I got both a haunting and a past life karma.
All right.
All in one story. In a past life, I was in a Union soldier, and I was going home or somewhere, and I ran across a farmhouse, and there was a family there, and the wife was being abused. It was a husband, a brother, and two children, and she was being very much abused, and she asked me if I could take her away from there, and I agreed. And okay, so we'll skip all the other details, and we go into this lifetime. Now, these souls did not enter into the light like usually they do. They waited for me to be incarnated and would, I guess, ruin my life. During that time, they gathered several other souls. Actually, there was 23 of them, and they would be considered demonic. Just not in the light. And when I incarnated, they had vowed to make sure that I would never, they would destroy all my relationships. They will keep me from being rich by never selling my art and never getting married. So that was for 71 years they had me against the ropes. And they had practically ruined everything in my life. Now, before I incarnated, I had also agreed that three black magicians would help to, I guess they were like sparring partners. I think your guest, Jeffrey, would understand that. And I had agreed, yes. And so there was like 26 of them. And I had to gain a lot of strength. And you meditate for 46 years to find answers of why these things are going on. But yes, sometimes these things do happen to people. And yes, I do take people in their past lives, and we do change some of the karma by getting an insight and working on the healing process back in past lives. And we do have free will, according to angels and archangels. Okay.
All right. Thanks for that. You want to react to some of that, Jeff?
Well, what I would say to you, Joe, is that when you make your agreement to come here, it's specific to the karma you're working through. You participate with other individuals, but your free will trumps any thing that anyone can do to you. There might be some level of responsibility, because again, I still feel really big about us being responsible for who we invite in and why we're inviting these in and how it's helping us to maybe get a fresher perspective about ourselves. I get a sense, Joe, that you're working a lot on solar plexus, which is about empowerment, and it's about understanding the use of your power and not, you know, in past lives, you've given your power away. And so this life is about being empowerment. So these might be memories from past lives without, you know, getting in deeper, but I do strongly sense the sense of you working on empowerment.
George in Corpus Christi, Texas with us now. Hey, George, you're up with us.
Hi, George. Happy 2019.
You too, my friend. Thank you.
Okay, and I'm glad. It's been a while since I called, and you know my favorite subject is higher consciousness.
You got it. This is right down your alley.
Okay, I always have to write these questions down. This is kind of be a little bit simplistic, but is our good consciousness in our incarnate life our only passage to eternal wholeness or being more like God?
Let's go one at a time. We'll go one at a time. Jeff?
Okay.
I'm sorry, what's the first question again?
Okay, is our consciousness in our incarnate life our only passage to eternal wholeness or being more like God? It's actually one question.
Yeah, so your consciousness is your awareness, and your awareness is what brings forth your the idea of how you find your way back home. To source, to creator, to God. I'm not sure if I understand your question completely, but are you asking, is there more than one path back to God or to source?
George, you're still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Is okay.
Just being good our whole life, is that our only passage to eternal? And when I say wholeness, it's like being more like God, because God is whole.
Right. Well, you know, and what's important?
God encompasses, and it's like, is it, okay, let me read it again. Is our good consciousness in our incarnate life our only way to get to eternal wholeness or being more like God?
I guess what he's trying to say, too, is that the only way you can get to the heavenly state by having good karma?
Yeah, and again, going back to what I talked about earlier in the program about habitual having habits and developing character and developing your destiny. See, what the great masters were able to do, and Jesus and Buddha are great examples, once they transcended ignorance and they no longer have karma, so therefore they have no more life experience, a physical life experience, because they transcend karma. And ultimately, that's what we want to do with the progression of our soul, is be in a state of consciousness where we know we have that oneness and unity with Source, Creator, God, and therefore there's no need to come back here. But again, the term good, goodness, I think what's important is just to be aligned with all the natural laws we talked about and to master those laws.
And you have to master them. Jeff, we're going to come back and take some final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to our final segment with Jeff Jowett as we talk about karma. And boy, it really is. Do little kids have karma?
Absolutely. Because any individual that... they come with karma. So again, there's ripe seed karma that comes with them, but every little thought they have, every little action they have, they're actually creating karma as they come in.
Why is there so much suffering and pain on this planet, Joe?
Well, suffering and pain has to do, again, with the ignorance of natural law, but it also, I think of the word resistance. We tend to be in a place of resistance. And because we have free will to make choices and decisions, we can judge things and so forth. But, you know, a lot of suffering and pain, one of my favorite little books is called The Precious Present. And there's a line in this little book, and it says, pain is the difference between what is and what we want it to be. So when we, again, stand in the way of the natural flow of vibration, like the law of vibration says, we can be in a place of suffering and pain. But usually it's because we're not aware or conscious of the laws that apply to us. And we also tend to judge something from our perspective and not the grander perspective of things.
Now, here's the interesting question. How does it work? Because, I mean, is there the karma leader there who just dictates, all right, this person has good karma, so good things will happen to this person? How does it work?
You know, it's just all...
Or it just does.
All vibrations of energy, and it all follows a certain law or pattern. And the thing that attracted me so much to study of biology was in biological systems, whether you have a community of cells, a community of deer, a community of trees, there's a natural tendency for everything to want to thrive, to be in harmony, and to work together and to be together. And so that's the natural norm way of energy. And again, because we have consciousness, you can think of ourselves as little converters, and we can take that harmonic energy and we can convert it to be in a place of resistance. And that's what leads to the pain and suffering aspect of things. You know, pain and suffering can be a great teacher though, because once we master the ability to let it go and to surrender, and the big words are surrender and forgiveness, we can release that, and then just instead of going upstream, we can float downstream and make our lives a lot simpler.
Let's go back to the phones. Rachel in Idaho Falls, Idaho, is with us. Rachel, you're on with Jeff Jowett. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi there.
Happy New Year, Jeff and George.
Thank you, Rachel.
And one of my favorite, this is one of my favorite subjects. I've been working on this, and this is just my highest priority. I've been working on this for a very long time, and there's a couple things. I've been told that I picked up somebody else, that I, in a past life, picked up somebody else's karma because she wasn't able to take care of it herself, and I'm just kind of wondering what you thought about that, and if you're getting any reading from me. The other, I have a huge block on financial stuff. I seem to be able to get through the other, and I'm great.
Orange is your color, and it's sacral, and the sacral chakra is all about contentment, abundance, and joy. So I get really, as soon as I heard your voice, I saw the color orange. You know, in terms of carrying someone else's karma, I don't see how that would be beneficial to anyone. It's important for someone to carry their own karma. And even if they're not conscientiously aware of it, it's important that they carry it, because again, it's connected to their specific intention, desire, and action. You can participate in that karma, because there's group karma, and there's dynamics around that, but specific to that individual, you wouldn't want to do that, because you'd impinge on their free will, and you know, that wouldn't be helpful to you or that soul's individual. That you can be empathetic toward them, and you can, you know, help them understand it, and you can share similar karma, but you can't take someone's, because it's something that you individually create.
Jeff, as you look at, you know, the study of karma, are there other cultures that look at it differently than we do?
Yeah, even in the in India, they bring in the animal kingdoms and the plant kingdoms and so forth, and overlap them with humans. And so they're the one culture that looks at it really, really differently. Like, you can go back and become an insect, or, you know, you can become a horse. But most cultures see us in different subunits. And because we have the ability to have a conscious mind and make decisions and choices and so forth, I see us in a different category. But if you look over the course of time and the ways karma's presented, it really is there. It's very, it complements. It's very similar. And to me, that's why I see it as a law. It's because even back in Sanskrit, when they were writing about it, and in Hinduism and Buddhism and Christianity, they all are saying the same thing. They might just be using, you know, different adjectives and stories to describe them, but they're basically complementing. So I see a lot more complementation than I do differences in the different cultures when it comes to karma.
Our first-time caller, Steve, is in Casa Grande, Arizona. Steven, hello there.
Hello, I can't believe I'm actually talking to you. My karma must be changing right now.
I love it. Perfect. Go ahead, Steve.
I'm an Elvis impersonator, and I guess my question would be, how does that work with the karma thing? Or, you know, like, I know when you were talking about how, like, when we reincarnate, we come in and we kind of put on this costume of our body. But like, sometimes I feel like Elvis does come through me when I'm singing, because I sing better, you know, when I'm doing that show. Sometimes I feel like he's actually even coming through me, and I don't know if that's just crazy or what, but
well, and before we get going, give us a little Elvis, Steve. You got to do that for us.
Okay, pick a song. Huh?
How about Can't Help Falling in Love, one of my favorites?
Okay. Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you.
Perfect. All right, Jeff, so he takes on the role of Elvis. What does that do to his karma?
Well, it goes with the intention of what he's doing with Elvis. So you're bringing him back to life, and you're demonstrating, you know, his ability to entertain and so forth. So your intention of what you're doing with him, your karma is still specific to yours. But essentially, though, when you look at some of the other laws, Elvis had a certain signature. His voice is a great example of that vibration. And you're mimicking it, and you're following it. So it's a choice of yours to follow, but your karma isn't really enmeshed with his karma. It's your intention of why you're doing it is more important to the karma you're creating than...
Because it's really Steve's karma, isn't it?
Absolutely. It belongs to him completely.
Now, in Elvis's case... You know, God forbid, you know, he passed on at a very young age. What was going on with his karma? I mean, can your karma, like, save you from health issues and stuff like that?
Well, so karma came back to him in ways that was probably telling him to slow down, to take care of himself and so forth. And all the circumstances in his life that was happening, but also... When I look at Elvis, again, I see someone who came with a karmic debt of very low self-esteem and someone who came from martyrdom. A lot of martyrdom. That's solar plexus and its sacral chakra. And look what he did in his life. Like, he was known to give a lot away to others.
He did give a lot of things.
Gave, which was beautiful. And that would be him overcoming some of that karma that he had from... early on in this life or in past lives. So, you know, a person doesn't have to be here a long time to accomplish their soul agreement. I mean, they could be here for hours, days, and weeks. And it's not the quantity of time. It's the quality of the action that they use in that time they're here.
Jody's with us in Houston, Texas. Hello, Jody.
Hello. I'm so happy to get through. I'm wondering if he can pick up maybe anything from me. I can tell you me and my four children have been plagued throughout the years with different spirits following me and one of my daughters. But I have a lot of stuff going on in my current home. I have lived my whole life by the karma of what you put out comes back to you hundredfold or tenfold, whatever. And the other thing is everything happens for a reason. Those are the two things I live my life by. But yet, I put out good. Good does come back to me, but we have these constant coming back of dark spirit. I just am at my wit's end, and I'm wondering if you pick up anything.
Jeffrey?
Yeah, so, I get the color green with you, which is heart chakra. You're healing a lot of self-love. You know, I have to say, like, when people pick these lower energies up and stuff, these could be thought forms that exist even within your subconscious. And the subconscious is a very important area to excavate and to learn about, because it has a lot of impact on your personality and the choices and decisions you make, but also the fears that you carry. And so I would encourage you to talk to someone to explore your subconscious area. But self-love feels really, really important. And your intention can be good, but the subconscious is carrying some fear and some the fear that I get with you is I feel as though when you associated with love before, it was used to manipulate and control you and other people. And so you that it's like a stuck record. It's in your subconscious mind, and that might be something you want to work through.
Interesting. How do you get that feeling so quickly, Jeff? Is it a spirit guide or what is it?
No, it's my inner knowing. It's my intuition. It's connecting to that higher place. And I do a lot of telephone readings, and the reason why I can is I'm very clear audio. Like when I hear the voice, I can feel the vibration and connect.
Let's take one or two more calls. James in Modesto, California is with us now. Good morning, James.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I was wondering, I have a rare autoimmune disease, and about 5 years ago, I was a truck driver, and all of a sudden, I had my skin started swelling. I started accumulating this fluid, and before I knew it, I couldn't walk, and things were, there was a lot of pain and stuff, and it took the doctors a few months before they could figure out what was wrong with me, and they ended up diagnosing me with it's called eosinophilic fasciitis, which is a very rare autoimmune disease. And it seemed like at the time, right before I got sick, I was kind of at the top of everything in life as far as career, making the best money, had the house. I was married at the time. I had a two-year-old son. And after that, it seemed like I kind of took a dive. And I ended up getting divorced, unfortunately, about a year later, and losing my job and going on Social Security. And fast forward to where I am now, I've been going to community college and just kind of getting by. But I wonder if there's something that has to do with karma as to why I'm on this path.
All right, good question. And we have a minute left, Jeff.
Yeah, so as soon as I heard your voice, I heard sabotage, and I feel there's a sense of self-sabotage. It's coming from past life stuff. It's a fear of succeeding. It's a fear of
self-sabotage, though. He's doing it to himself.
Yeah. Again, it's the subconscious. That's the area that's so important to excavate and understand, and that's where you might want to do self-hypnosis and have someone help you get in there to release that.
Interesting take that people really have control over their destiny in one way or another, don't they?
They absolutely do. Again, that's the empowerment, and that's the whole idea of you create and manifest your own conditions, and people might say, why? Well, a lot more is going on in the subconscious mind, and to me, that's the most unexplored territory that we'll want to turn our attention to understand.
And Jeff, can people reach you through your website?
Absolutely, yeah. Encourage them to reach me there, and they can learn about services and also locations I'll be teaching workshops.
Great, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate you being on the program. Jeff Jowett. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Badal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, Be safe, everyone.